The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, we talk about hunting, and we talk about the great outdoors. And we hope that that's what you will want to talk about with us today, that's for sure. So the phone number here is 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Love to hear from you on those any of those topics if you'd like to join us, and we try to share the news. We try to entertain you a little bit, and talk about stuff in the outdoors that is either funny or serious sometimes, or whatever it might be. So, sorting through the things that I have already covered with you. So. Looks like I printed out a couple of these things twice. Okay. I'm working on it. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. The turkey gobblers are more than likely, in the parlance of the turkey hunters, hand up. This time of year, that means that these guys have found their harem, just like Chuck called in. The way it goes is the gobblers are sometimes roosted with the hens, sometimes not. During the morning, the most susceptible time for the turkeys usually. When they fly down from the roost, immediately get with their hens, and the breeding process continues on. And if you read about the turkey breeding cycle, it's pretty interesting. I think they lay one egg a day for something like 21 days, and, it takes a certain amount of time to breed the turkeys and that type of thing. And that's where we are. We're in a very, very, it's almost like the whitetail rut where the whitetail bucks are with the does right now, and, they're locked down. And it's very difficult to harvest a gobbler during this time, unless, like Chuck indicated, that around 10 o'clock, the gobblers will be finished breeding their harem, and they're looking for new hens, because the hens will tend to go on the nest about that time, 10, 11 o'clock. That's why the season ends at noon, to protect the nesting hens. And gobblers will still be up and active and continuing to want to breed, because that's what they do. So that's another time after the initial breeding session in the morning that you can attract a gobbler mid-morning, late morning. And that's why they extend the season for the last 2 weeks for all-day hunting, because by that time the bulk of the turkey breeding in Maryland is over. The hens are on the nest, and there's no reason to worry about protecting the hens on the nest the last couple of weeks of the season. So it's a balance of recreational opportunity and game management is what it is. Let's talk to Butch in Denton. Good morning, Butch. How are you?
Hey, doing, Al.
I'm all right. What's up?
I got a fishing question for you. I fished the Chow Tank a lot. I'm 71 years old. And last December, I was in the Choptank River Bridge, 51 feet of water. I went out for perch, But I was catching black sea bass. I never caught them there.
Oh, wait a minute. On the Choptank River Bridge.
Yep.
You were catching black sea bass.
Yeah.
I've caught black sea bass in the bay. Not that deep, but I've caught black sea bass in the lower bay.
I've caught them down in Ocean City. I never caught them up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can catch them in Ocean City. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was very, very surprised to see that.
I would say, and you've never caught them there before.
Never, no.
Yeah.
Never.
Do you fish there often?
About twice a year.
About twice a year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't fished that bridge in a long time, but I plan on doing that. I'm guessing there's probably some white perch in there right now.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go probably next weekend.
Uh-huh. Well, good.
Go down there. But,
now, you live in Denton, but you only fish that. Well, you've got some good fishing right there around Denton for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you been out this year yet?
Yeah, we've been out catfishing.
Uh-huh. Where at?
Marshy Hope.
Marshy Hope. How you doing on the catfish?
I'm doing pretty good.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was up there last year in that 99-degree heat. We were on a sturgeon mission. I was on the sturgeon boat with the DNR trying to catch a sturgeon for their sturgeon project, a wild sturgeon, and tag it. And we got close. I mean, we had some tagged sturgeon that were in the area, and we could track them, between point A and point B, but nothing came in the net that day. And then I think the day after I was there, they caught two. So,
oh, wow.
But it was a very interesting time up there. Marshy Hope is a beautiful stretch of river. Beautiful stretch.
Oh, yeah. It's nice up there.
It is, yep.
Nice fishing up there, too.
Yep, really accessible from a boat, not a lot of shoreline access.
Right.
So.
All right, Alan, I thank you. So.
All right, Nathan. Butch, I appreciate the call. And
I thought maybe they got lost and got up there.
They follow the food just like every other fish, and they follow the salinity. You know, so apparently the salinity was pretty high in the bay at that point.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right, bud.
All right, man. Appreciate the call. Congratulations.
Right.
Take care. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com is the email address if you'd like to call us then. And we have some information here that came to us from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources annual awards ceremony. Officers and park employees and civilians were honored for their contributions to conservation law enforcement in 2015 during the Maryland Natural Resources Police annual awards ceremony. Last Thursday evening at Chesapeake College highlighted the acts of heroism and extraordinary effort. It also spotlighted the work of some of the agency's top achievers, with awarding the Officer of the Year, the Conservation Officer of the Year, the Boating Officer of the Year, and the Special Services Officer of the Year. Officer First Class John Bunting is assigned to the Lower Eastern Shore. He was named Officer of the Year. He also received three awards of merit, the agency's second highest honor, for helping save a crash victim from a burning vehicle, for recovering a victim in high seas, and for capturing a felon after stabbing in Ocean City. Captain Andrew Wilson, assigned to the Upper Eastern Shore, was named Conservation Officer of the Year. Wilson was also Officer of the Year last year. He impressed the awards committee with the sweep and depth of his law enforcement efforts, ranging from oyster poaching cases to illegal hunting activities. And Wilson also received the Shikar Safari International Club's Wildlife Officer of the Year award. Corporal Hugh Brohan, assigned to Annapolis, was named Boating Officer of the Year, his third such honor in the last decade. He consistently spearheaded the agency's operating while impaired efforts with arrests last year that spanned the Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries from Baltimore to Kent Island and in Ocean City. Captain Michael Lathram was named Special Services Officer of the Year for his work in the criminal investigation section on 16 fatalities across the state in 2015. In addition, Lathram was the lead investigator on several high-profile wildlife cases, including a joint investigation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Sergeant James Johnson, Jr., assigned to Annapolis, was selected as the Maryland Park Service by the Maryland Park Service as its Officer of the Year. Johnson, along with Sergeant Donald Mackle, also received an award of merit for rescuing a total of 9 jet skiers and boaters during the dangerous summer storm off Sandy Point State Park. Officer First Class Kristen McFarland, Park Lifeguards Isela Hernandez and Nathal Camille, and Park Rangers Maria Rusing and Alicia Allison Woodfield received superintendent certificates of appreciation. Obviously, I didn't pre-read this to get their names. Awards of merit went to Officer First Class David Bloxham, Corporal Matthew Corbin, Officer First Class Jacob Coxon, Corporal Brandon Davis, Officer First Class Maureen Ferguson, and Officer First Class David Wilkinson. Michael Kane, Assistant State's Attorney for St. Mary's County, was awarded a Superintendent's Certificate of Appreciation for his vigorous prosecution of conservation cases, including one that led to the revocation of a serial oyster poacher's commercial license. Also receiving the Superintendent's Certificate of Appreciation for assisting Natural Resources police officers were Nicholas Austin Barnett, Maryland Park Service Ranger Curtis Dale, Dr. Cindy Driscoll, who's been a guest on this show, and Dr. Erica Miller. And I think both of those have been on the air. Certificates of appreciation were awarded Officer First Class Brian Hughes, Officer First Class Robert Karge, Officer First Class Matthew Moffitt for leading investigations that broke up deer poaching rings. So congrats to all the folks in the Natural Resources Police and others that received their awards this past week. Well deserved. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Love to hear from you. Wildlife sightings, you know, I mentioned earlier in the first part of the first hour that folks that are watching these eagle cams across the country, you know, there's one in D.C. at the National Arboretum that's been very successful with successfully promoted. The male eagle is called Mr. President, and the female is called the First Lady. The chicks were successfully hatched and are being raised. They have had a naming contest, and they are now called Liberty and Freedom. So you can watch those online 24 hours a day if you like. I mean, at night, if you want to tune in and watch eagles sleeping, it's scintillating video, that's for sure. But during the day, it's pretty interesting because the adults bring back fish and everything else to the nest from the nearby Potomac River. A lot of mud shad come in, catfish and that type of thing. However, there are a number of these eagle cams. The one in Hanover, Pennsylvania, was that of a failed nest. A chick hatched, a little eaglet hatched and died, and then another egg was left abandoned, and now the nest is abandoned. The one in Pittsburgh had an interesting situation the other day when one of the eagles brought back a cat. Watchers, you know, people who are wildlife watchers were aghast to see a cat being brought to the nest and being fed to the eaglets. Hey, it's food. It's food. And people were all excited about it. It's blacked out. You know, some of the announcements have the little cat blurred out. Some don't. You can watch them eat the cat if you want. I don't particularly care to watch that necessarily. But it was interesting. And then we made this comment in the last hour about the eagles eating the cat. And we got a nice email from John that said, about time. Cats, feral cats have been eating songbirds forever. It's about time that the birds got revenge. So who knows? Let's talk to Claude in Baltimore. Good morning, Claude. How are you?
Hey, boy. Well, I'm not good. I got to have open heart surgery. I'm in a rehab facility. But
you're in a rehab right now?
Yeah.
And you had open heart surgery?
No. I'm getting ready to have it. I got a ulcer on my foot, a diabetic ulcer.
Uh-huh.
It didn't heal, so I got to take antibiotics. So I'm stuck here.
Oh, to get that cleared up, the antibiotics to get the infection cleared up before you have the open heart surgery.
Right.
I got it. But, okay.
But what I like to talk about is, I mean, some idiot or animal or whatever you want to call him, punk or whatever, went and destroyed Thomas Point Light. What is wrong with people?
People are nuts.
That is a beautiful place.
People are nuts, man. What did they do to it?
According to DNR, they had a thing on Facebook where they demolished it.
Demolished Thomas Point Light.
Yeah, they did a lot of extensive damage, I guess, inside the Thomas Point Light.
Yeah.
They said it was a lot of vandalism and whatnot, and they asked if anybody knew to call them, you know, with information, had a reward. But whoever did it had to get there by boat. You couldn't walk.
Right, of course.
So somebody had to see something.
Sounds like that's exactly right. Somebody had to see something. This is the first I heard about that, Claude. I mean, I just haven't been.
Really?
Well, honestly, I don't necessarily follow a lot of local news. I did see the guy in the honey badger shoot that walked into Fox 45 the other day. That was very interesting.
Oh, yeah, what a nutcase. I mean.
Wait, now, didn't you just answer your own question, what's wrong with people?
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, it's sad, man. It really is.
Yeah. Yep.
But, I mean, and people killing our eagles, I mean, you know, what is wrong with that? I mean,
there's a lot wrong with that.
That's a whole lot wrong. You're right. I'm just saying. But, I mean, somebody that killed a beautiful eagle,
well,
it ain't bothering nobody.
It wasn't just one, buddy. It was like...
It wasn't 13, wasn't it?
Well, and then they found the four or five more in Delaware. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Same person or what?
Don't know. They haven't caught anybody yet. But, I mean, these eagles are definitely poisoned. The way they find them, the position they find them in, where they're on the ground, you know, they're breast down on the ground. It's not like that somebody shot them and they're laying on their side. These eagles have suffered a horrible death at the hands of somebody that somehow poisoned them. And I don't know if we've got a toxicology report on them or not. I haven't been following that case either. But
people, you know, I watched the Animal Planet, and they got people killing snowbirds. I mean, snow owls.
Snowy, owls. Yeah. I know.
It's sad, man.
It is. It's crazy. I know. You know, watch the Animal Planet, do you?
I guess you're going to go crabbing soon, huh?
Yeah, I hope so. I've got my traps already.
Yep.
What's that?
It'll be good and plentiful this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, to my knowledge, the pickers have... either have not arrived or have just arrived at the picking houses, but I'm seeing crab prices that are just incredible right now. I mean, Louisiana crabs are still coming in. We've got plenty of crabs on the bay. I guess they've had a banner year down in the Southern Bay, Lower Bay, you know, on both sides of the bay. You know, it's going to be a good year for crabs if the early season is any indication. So, yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, nice talking to you, and you have a good weekend.
All right. Well, hey, look, Claude, we'll put you on the prayer list for the heart surgery, okay?
Okay. Thank you, pal.
All right, buddy. See ya. Here he goes. 410. Anybody know anything about Thomas Point Light being vandalized? I hadn't heard it. 410 WCBM 680. 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Love to hear from you. What world time is it? Time to take a break, isn't it? All right, let me tell you about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. Now, the folks at Browning have offered a rebate on anybody that buys a Browning firearm by today. You'll get an 8% rebate from Browning. And basically, that pays your sales tax. You know, it's 6% here in Maryland. So you get an 8% rebate on purchase of a Browning firearm, and you can do that at Clyde Sports Shop. Now, if you're into shotgun sports, there's a couple of them I'd really like to recommend. The BT-99 trap gun is a wonderful single-shot shotgun that you trap shooters use. And it's a very balanced, nice gun. Comes with all the chokes and all the stuff that you need. Then the Satori Sporting Clays is an over and under shotgun, two shot. Comes with 5 Invector DS choke tubes. It's got a ported barrel, a triple trigger system, Vector Pro length enforcing cones, and and if you like the over and under for field use too, like upland birds and, you know, quail and dove shooting. Well, guess what? You can get one of those too. The field model is also available. Then there's the A5 semi-automatic. Now, if you like that three shots, it's the most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. And it comes in a beautiful walnut-blued steel, comes in a synthetic, comes in a mossy oak camo, if you like that. 3 and 3.5-inch chambers, 12-gauge, 100,000-rounder, 5-year guarantee. And there's more. I can go on and on and on about all the Browning's firearms, but your hunting and shooting sports headquarters is Clyde Sports Shop. They have Shot for Reloading. They have the new Browning ammo, lots of .22 ammo right now, put out by Browning. They've got it at Clyde's, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. And if you want the 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-3474, 247-FISH. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Have you enjoyed decoy collecting or just looking at beautiful carved decoys or great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, and a scenic walk along the bay? Well, it's time for the 35th Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum. Coming up next weekend, starts next Friday at 6 o'clock, 6 to 9, and Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4 at the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum. This year, there will be carving competitions, a retriever demonstration, a live raptor display, a sculling competition, a silent auction, and much more, featuring community and nonprofit organizations. Admission just $10. Children under 12 admitted free with a paying adult. 100 decoy carvers and wildlife artists, photographers, and others will be there. They'll be showing off their work, much of it for sale. And the family-friendly festival has great food and lots to see and lots to do. There will be free shuttle buses that run between the museum, the middle school, and the activity center where all the action is. You can learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake Bay at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival, the Harvard and Grace Decoy Museum, coming up next weekend, 6th, 7th, and 8th. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call 410-939-3739. That's 939-3739. We'll see you at the Decoy Festival. Let me tell you, nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, you know what? If you enjoy gardening, I always recommend Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. That's in Severn, just off I-97. You can't miss the place. You're going down I-97, you see those, you get their new cut road, you see those big greenhouses on the right, you see all that farmland. That's Papa John's Farm right there. The greenhouses, I think there are 8 of them, are absolutely packed and bursting with beautiful plants and flowers. Annuals by the pack or the flat, perennials by the pot. They're bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets, pansies, impatiens, petunias, anything, everything. They even carry the proven winner specialty plants. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too. Ready to plant in your home garden? Tasty tomatoes, squash, onions, watermelon, cantaloupe, all that and more, with even 10 varieties of hot peppers and herbs as well. Papa John's Farm, located off I-97. At exit 12, 8029 New Cut Road, that's what the sign says, New Cut Road, in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouse to make your selection, or you can call them at 410-969-5909. That's 969-5909. You think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden or for your church, and don't forget Mother's Day. Think about Mom with some plants and flowers next Sunday, May 8th. Call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. You can visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Let's talk to another singer. Let's talk to Fran in Baltimore. Good morning, Fran.
Good morning. How are you?
Will you sing along with it?
I was going to. I was tempted. I think I heard you, didn't I, in the background?
A little bit. Yeah.
You know, I almost made it through the whole show without calling. Almost made it. Anyway, that caller that was discussing the Eagles.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It has been something on my mind that really ticks me off.
Uh-oh.
I have a theory. I have a theory as to why it's being done, and I have a theory as to how it's being done.
Go.
All right. The reason I feel that it's being done is to send a message. Because the eagle represents the United States, you take down the bird that represents the United States, and the message is, we're going to take you down as well.
Okay.
That's the message. Now, how it's being done. I thought about it. Eagles kind of stay to the south, mind their own business. You know, they don't travel usually in packs, from my understanding now. I'm not no expert. And the one reason that you can catch a bunch of them together like that is if you follow them and discover their feeding ground, you know, where they go to fish and whatever to take back to the nest.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you can get a group of them together.
It's easier than that, Fran.
Wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but go ahead. Let's hear your theory. Go ahead.
Anyway, and that's when I asked you about that, how high do they fly?
Right.
And they fly, like you said, 10,000. I said, somewhere I read, even between 10 and 15,000 feet.
Okay.
I have a theory. You know those little planes that are dust cropper, you know?
Mm-hmm. Duster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do they have to register their flight pattern?
I don't know.
Or they can just go up when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can pretty much go up undetected. They're flying under the radar. Well, I was thinking in theory, suppose you had one of those little planes and this was your purpose, right? You could go up with some type of chemical that you know would harm the eagles, and you go up over their feeding ground. And I think why some of them survive, even though they were having trouble breathing, it depended on the height that they were at. Let's say the little plane was at 12 to 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the ones at 10,000 didn't inhale as much. So even though they all fell, you know, a couple of them or so was able to be, you know, revived, though they didn't die right on the bat, you know. And you could spray a chemical while they're up there, and you get a group of them to fall down at one time. And if they don't have to register their flight pattern, they can just go up and do that. Because I was thinking, they're not killing anything else below that level. You know, the other birds, the animals, and all that stuff, it should be some other animals sick as
can
well.
Can I make it much simpler for you?
What?
Eagles are carrion eaters.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They'll eat carcasses of dead animals. So, if you want to kill a bunch of eagles, you find a poison and they're readily available, that are fatal to eagles. You lace a dead deer carcass, a roadkill, with that poison. You stake it out in your field somewhere or off the highway or whatever it might be, and you do this multiple times. So two or three roadkills will kill a dozen eagles, because that's how many will feed on two or three roadkills.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a ground-based thing rather than an air-based thing. And the eagles will ingest that. They may look okay for a while, but they will become quickly incapacitated, and that's why they found 13 of them on one particular farm in Caroline County. 13 dead eagles on one tract of land. So they don't know how. They don't know how it happened or why it happened, but I guess it was a trapper that was on the property and found an eagle carcass or two or three or four or five, and then under investigation they wound up with 13. And all those eagles were found with the breast down on the ground, like they had tried to, you know, they were weak and had tried to, you know, hop across the ground and then just expired right there. But I don't think it needs to be quite as complicated as flying an airplane up or, you know, a good theory there, friend. Good theory.
Well, it was just a theory.
But you can get them a lot easier than that if you really wanted to kill an eagle, and God knows why they would. And, you know, I don't know what would bend somebody to do that, unless they think that, you know, eagles are killing fawns or something stupid like that, you know. I have no idea. Maybe they saw one catch a goose or catch a duck one time, and you know, there have been duck hunters that don't like eagles that come in and take their ducks, and they will do so. Trust me, they will do so. These guys that have these RSAs, with regulated shooting areas, that raise their own ducks. I mean, they'll raise a couple thousand ducks. They're plagued with eagles and hawks and all kinds of predators that want to eat their ducks, because, quite frankly, the ducks aren't that smart and that mobile. And in my own life, I've seen eagles take two different mallard ducks, one off of a pond and one off the side of the road, live ducks, that, you know, they swooped out and get them. So they're, you know, they're pretty effective, pretty efficient killers, but, you know, there's no reason to kill them. They're just none, no sensical reason whatsoever. Just like this Thomas Point Lighthouse, what's the point of that? What's the point of going in there and kicking out all those railings that the citizens hand sanded and set in place to lovingly restore that lighthouse? We'll have some more information on that in a minute. So
people just evil sometimes.
People are evil. You're exactly right, Fran. Yeah. That's what it does. It's the advent of evil people in this world. Nothing new.
No.
Nothing new.
Not at
but,
all.
But it seems to be increasing right now. So it's a shame.
Well, all right. I hope they catch them, because it's like a unsolved mystery that doesn't settle well with any of the outdoors people, I'm sure.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks
all
for the
right.
call.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks,
all right.
Man. Bye-bye. There she goes. Okay. A couple of people sent me the link to the Capital Gazette newspaper that was today, actually. Looks like today is, or maybe that's just the date. I don't know. But here's the article. Thomas Point Shoal Lighthouse was damaged by vandals. It was discovered last Saturday. The pickets that made up the fencing around there had been hand-cut, sanded, and painted by volunteers, some of whom were pushing 80 years old. Windows were shattered and fire extinguishers set off. The Thomas Point Shoal's Lighthouse is a National Historic Landmark, and it quotes a number of people who were involved in it. But here's the deal. Anyone with information regarding the break-in and damage is asked to call Officer Jeff Beshore, Beshore, or Officer Chris Neville at 1-800-628-9944, 800-628-9944. If you have any information leading to the vandal, the catching and conviction of the vandals that vandalized this historic Thomas Point Lighthouse, there's the number to call. Let me give it to you one more time. It's 800-628-9944. Anybody requesting the link, I'd be more than glad to send them the link. And thanks to those of you who sent us the story, a couple of you. So 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Let's see. Get back to my own email and back to what we're doing here. What are we doing here? Waiting for your phone call, that's for sure. Talked about Blackwater. Talked about the NRP people being honored. Talked about the British guys using the ashes of their dead friend to catch a 180-pound Siamese carp. Talked about the poachers. Talked about the bear stamp and the duck stamp. Well, I'm just about out of stuff there. How about that? Let's see if there's anything else here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got that. There's some good news. Bethany, short timer. How are you? Doing all right? Yeah, Beth's leaving us next week. This is your last week. Is that what you said? I tell you, congratulations on nailing that full-time gig. That's going to be good. It's something you're going to love to do, you know, so I get it. I mean, we miss seeing you here at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm sure you're going to miss that part of your routine. So, all right. Good news came out the other day. Record grass abundance indicates progress on bay restoration and improved water quality. According to the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, the underwater grass abundance, a key indicator of water quality in the state's portion of the Chesapeake Bay, increased 29% between 2014 and 2015, reaching a new record of 53,277 acres. I don't know when they've been keeping records, but I'm sure there was more acreage of grasses in the bay before a couple of well-known hurricanes, including Agnes, but this puts Maryland at nearly 94% of its 2017 restoration goal of 57,000 acres. In Maryland, five bay rivers surpassed their restoration goals last year: the Upper and Middle Chester, the Elk River, the Bush River, Fishing Bay, the Chesapeake and Delaware C&D Canal. Additionally, several rivers witnessed record grass growth, including the Upper Chester River, the Middle Choptank River, the Big Animessex River, the Menokin and Tangier Sound and Middle River. The record resilience and resurgence of the underwater grasses indicates that Maryland is making progress on Chesapeake Bay restoration and improving water quality in the watershed, said Natural Resources Secretary Mark Belton. These grasses are essential to a healthy ecosystem. They absorb and filter out nutrients and sediment. They reduce shoreline erosion. They provide protection for species like the blue crab and largemouth bass. And they support and sustain migrating waterfowl. Well, if that's all true, Mark, and we appreciate that. And here's a picture of some wild celery in the clear Susquehanna Flats water. You know, we had a bill in to make the canvasback duck. And if you go to the decoy festival, the state duck. And it did not make it out of either the House or the Senate committee, despite testimony and support from every major waterfowl organization in the state, and including Ducks Unlimited nationally, Delta Waterfowl nationally, Maryland Waterfowlers Association, the Ward Foundation, Waterfowl Chesapeake and Waterfowl Festival, and most importantly, the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum, and including the canvasback duck stamp artist, Jim Taylor, from the 2015-16 canvasback duck stamp. We all testified in both the House and the Senate, and neither committee felt compelled to move our initiative to the floor. The canvasback is linked to the success of the Chesapeake Bay, and there will, with the advent of more celery grass, it will indicate more canvasbacks coming back to the Chesapeake Bay. But that's a political statement. Congratulations to whoever is involved in the restoration efforts of the bay. The rise in underwater grasses is attributed not only to an expansion of widgeon grass, characterized as a boom or bust plant in portions of the mid-bay, but a variety of freshwater grasses like wild celery that grow in the upper and fresher portions of the bay. Maryland's biggest, most iconic underwater grass bed located in the Susquehanna Flats has been steadily recovering since 2011 and reached over 5,200 acres in 2015, showcasing the bed's resilience. It's a shame that the General Assembly could not see their way clear to name the canvasback duck the official state duck of Maryland, but the political intrigue, as it were. Let's talk to John in North Carolina. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, this is unrelated to anything. Except
good. I'm glad to hear that.
It is one of your sponsors. A friend of mine ran across a fantastic deal last year. He bought a Browning, I think, Abolt 2.
Okay.
That had just been discontinued.
Yep.
And he got it for $250.
Good God.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I guess I'm kind of frugal, so I own, you know, like Remington ADL, Savage, yeah, that sort of thing. Well, I took this Browning apart to help clean it, you know, get the oil off and clean it out. And I have to tell you, it's an eye-opening experience to see that level of fit and finish on a firearm because I'm not used to it.
Yes.
I mean, you look at the trigger group.
Yes.
The trigger group has more workmanship in it than most of my guns do altogether. And, you know, I know you talk about Clydes, and, of course, I live down here, so I'm not going to buy one from Clydes, but they sell Brownings, and you just, to somebody who isn't buying a higher-value gun,
mm-hmm,
it's just amazing the difference of workmanship.
Let me tell you something. I bought an A-Bolt 300 Win Mag. I had visions of, you know, going elk hunting, and I did. I went and took my 300 with me, and I shot it. I wound up putting a beautiful scope on there. Can't even remember the brand right now. Well, it doesn't matter. But it's a nice scope anyway. Got a good deal on it, and I shot that gun and shot that gun and shot that gun. And, of course, you clean it and that type of thing. And I have never had any kind of failure at all. Everything fits perfectly. The features are great. It's got the floor plate that drops down. The magazine is removable. You just, if you want to unload your gun, you know, you don't have to jack all the shells out of it. You just drop that floor plate down, and you pull that magazine off of there, and you put it in your pocket, flip it back, and your gun's unloaded. You know, you want to go back in the field, you don't have to go through all that again. But I took a bear with, I took my Maryland bear with that 300 at 200 yards this year, and the gun just handles well. There's not a lot of recoil. It's just a stupendous gun, and all the Brownings just you can't say enough about Brownings, and I'd like to own more of them, but I do own that one, and I'm pretty tickled with it.
You know, what occurred to me, I'm from a manufacturing background, so when
right,
I take things apart, I'm looking at them with how was it designed, how was it engineered, and how was it produced. And when I take apart the, you know, your average one, take the barreled action out of the stock, you're looking at trigger group, and it's mostly stamped parts because it's really cheap and efficient to do it that way, and
sure,
it works well.
Yep.
But you take apart the Browning, and you're like, my God, it's a skeletonized trigger. There's nothing stamped in there. It's just, if you appreciate machined metal, it was eye-opening to me to really look at a nicer gun and see how they put those together.
Exactly.
And that was my comment on Brownings, my God.
Well, they're good. No question about
really
it.
Really impressive to look at.
Indeed. All right, buddy.
Anyway.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, you just led me into a commercial for Clydes.
There you go.
All right, buddy. Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye-bye. There he goes. All right, well, what a deal on a Browning A-Bolt, whatever, A-Bolt 2. $250, I'd buy one all day long for that. Clyde Sports Shop doesn't have them for $250. However, they do have the full line of Browning firearms. Of course, they've got everything you need for fishing and crabbing and all that, too, and all the live bait and everything. And, you know, they got the 24-hour fishing hotline. That's 247-FISH, 247-3474. But if you want to find Browning firearm, yes, that's the place, Clyde Sports Shop. And right now, Browning is rebating you 8%. They'll send you a rebate for 8% of your purchase on your Browning firearm, and it's basically to cover your sales tax. So Clyde's has all the details to that. It's a perfect time to buy one and save some money. It's called the Second Amendment Tax Freedom Promotion, whatever they call it. But you'll enjoy your savings on a fine Browning firearm. They've got them all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. Stop by and say hi to the folks at Clyde's, and you will be glad you did. Hey, if you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, if you like looking at it, collecting it, waterfowl hunting, a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 35th Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Robert E. Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 6th, Saturday, May 7th, and Sunday, May 8th. Admission is just $10 for the whole weekend. Kids under 12 are admitted free with a paying adult. Carving competitions, a retriever demonstration, live raptor display, a sculling competition, a silent auction, and much more featuring community and nonprofit organizations. 100 carvers and artists and photographers and others will be on hand to showcase their work, much of it for sale. The family-friendly festival has great food, lots to see and do. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the activity center. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake Bay at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Robert E. Grace Decoy Museum on May 6th, 7th, and 8th, next weekend. For more info, visit decoymuseum.com. Call 410-939-3739. And one more time, we're going to talk about fish bones. Get out and see my buddy Bud down there at Fishbones. He's got a trolling chart that is just superior to anything else, and he knows how to explain it to you. And he'll hand you the chart and say, this is how you troll for rockfish. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. If you need anything for any type of fishing, for crabbing, the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you will ever find. They come in half bushel, bushel, bushel and a half sizes, stainless steel top to bottom. You'll never need to buy another one. They've got them right there at Fishbones, 410-360-0573. 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hear this week's top newsmakers and a panel of expert political analysis on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, Sundays at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early, and honey, you ain't gonna like it, cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined, so I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage. She's all decked out. I've ever seen. Can't concentrate when we're sitting in my stand. She's holding my gun and I'm holding her hand.
was cold, she's still hot. My baby looks good in camouflage.
That's right. My baby looks good in camouflage. All right. Well, we've got a couple minutes to go here. We have time for one more phone call. If somebody would like to close it out on a high note, we'd love to hear from you at 410-922-6680 is our phone number. The emails are pouring in on everything from my art designer about stuff in the on the on the magazine. She's up and working this morning, and Robin sent me what did she send me? She sent me something. Oh, she sent me the one about Thomas Point Light. So it's been busy. We hope you've enjoyed the show this morning. But if you'd like to give us a call, make a comment going out, we'd love to hear it. We talked about Eagles. We talked about what did we talk about? We talked about all kinds of stuff this morning. Talked about awards and art prints and everything. So listen, if you've never been to the Howard Grace Decoy Museum, you need to go, even if you just go during the week and take the tour. It is a spectacular place, and it certainly talks about the history of the Upper Bay. We just talked about the celery grass coming back, the largest bed of submerged aquatic vegetation in Chesapeake Bay. And celery, wild celery that's coming back, is what brought the canvasback duck here. So geez, we asked for one call. We got three. Let's talk to John in Queenstown. Anytime. Okay, John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
We're in the transition season here. We'll probably fry up our last turkeys. And if you're multitasking, using your crab pot and burner for frying turkeys and stuff, or if you just got to get the winter dust off your crab cooking equipment, if you take your burner over to your garden plot,
yeah,
fill up your pot all the way with water,
yeah,
and some Ivory detergent,
yeah,
bring it up to a boil,
okay,
and then up to a rolling boil, let it simmer and soften up all that old goo and get it good and clean for the season. Take a big pot and another pot, dip that out, and dump that onto your garden where you've got weeds. Or out your driveway, it'll kill off all that stuff, get your garden plot ready, give you a little extra time to get out and get crabs and fishing, and you're not using chemicals to do that out that harm the bay grass. So you can get your crab pot clean and your garden weeded in one shot.
John, that's perfect call to end the show. There's the music, and we appreciate